Okay, so let's take a look at the list that we had. Kalem Yud Beit talks about Tabat Adam. So we entitled this perek as the perek that deals with secondary kalem of many, many different types. Every Mishnah presents a kli that is serving a secondary usage as opposed to the list that we had in the 11th perek, which were called kelim atzmayim, any kli that has shem bifnei atzmo and or has a base kibbo, would be bekabel to, but does not require a base kibbo. But how about if it's something that is mishamish something else? So remember, we have our basic rule is that it has to be mishamshe odam, not mishamshe behemas, and not mishamshe kalim. So therefore, if you have a ring that is decorative for a human, yes, that will be mitame. But if you have a ring that decorates an animal, or it's a ring that decorates a door or a kli, it is not going to be mekabel tuma. If it's on a door, even if it's usable by a person, then it's mechuber and is not going to be mekabel tuma. And then if you've just got like a beam that's stuck in the ground, could that ever be mekabel tuma? Yes. If it's used for target practice, so then it's considered to be a kli for an adam, even though he puts it in when he needs to use it. But if it's a beam that's just a weight that is used for prisoners, then it's not. If it's a collar, then yes, because then it goes around with him and it serves as a kli to keep this person in prison. How about a bicycle lock that you use on a horse? Well, that can become tummy because, again, it's for your use. It's not really for the horse's use. It's to make sure your horse doesn't get stolen. Masha'inke, if it's a decorative chain, so let's say you get a chain around your little monkey, that is considered to be tahor, because over there it's essentially decorative, not being used to keep in place. And the same thing is true. I mean, people will put a chain on a washing cup. So if they put a chain on a washing cup and they could put it on in order to prevent it from being stolen, if it's outdoors, then it's considered to be a shimush of adam. If they put it on in order for it to look pretty, then it's a kalim that's being mishamish kalim. So because of that, there will be a difference in the usages. And then moving on to the various types of kalim that have part pieces that are metal and part where the kli itself is essentially a wooden kli. We were talking about certain types of balances, scales, where you have a metal piece that moves up and down a wooden rod. You've also got the little hook on top where you connect it to the ceiling. You've got a chain on the side. So it's got all of these different people that will use these type of things. If the Mishnah gives us different types of things. So if it's used in a house, it's bali batim. Then these things are not usually hung. They're kept up with your finger. So in that case, they don't have those metal hooks. If it does have hooks, so then it'll be tummy. The kind that's used by big stores and so on, those always have these metal hooks. The same thing is true in general about poles. Poles can be used, let's say, if you're a sabal. So over there, you've got a hook, but the main thing over there is the pole that you use to support it. So then even the hook won't be tummy. If it's the hook that's used by a guy goes around selling things and he keeps things displayed by pulling them up on the hook, so then the whole pole will become tummy. So again, all of these things are very, very dependent on their usage. The Mishnah brings tons of different examples. I'm not going to take up all of your time on these examples. One of the most famous is, of course, the actual frame of a bed where you put over it, you put the sheet that's made out of leather. So then that would mean that we tie it to the side of the bed. That means that the wooden frame in that case is going to become tameh because it has these hooks that hold everything together. So again, something that would be a kli in terms of its metal then becomes a kli if it's used in that fashion. Okay, there's a lot of kalalim. The general kalal that we say about this is that any type of hook that doesn't have its own name, and therefore it's not part of the first pereks of Perek Yud Aleph that has to do with metals, and it's attached to something else. If that something else can become tummy, then it can become tummy. If it's attached to a type of kli that is not shayach to tuma, it cannot. Certainly, hooks alone are not considered to be independent kalim. Now, then we talked about the kind of things that are covers. Now, covers are not normally seen as independent Kalim. So we talked about the cases, if you recall, we had the doctor's tenny. So there's a type of tenny that's used to put garbage in, and then the garbage cover falls over. But a doctor's tenny often was used, they opened up the garbage, I guess you would call it, where they would throw they would throw in used bandages and stuff like that. But they used the open side to keep medications and all kinds of other things, that when they rolled around the tenny, it would roll around with the cover also. So because of that, a rofim's tenny will be tamei, and then we had the machlokas, the famous machlokas, according to Rabbi Gamliel. Even if it doesn't have its own identity, it's shaped like a kli. And since it's shaped like a kli, we're not talking about the flat ones, obviously. Shaped like a kli, Rabbi Gamliel holds, it's often used as a kli, and that's enough. The Chachomim are matire all of those cases, which are not really meant for that thing, and it's not that much of a standard thing that we would call it a kli. And there's many cases that we had of this, Bachlokas with the Chachomim, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. The same thing we had about cabinet doors. In hospitals, the doctors will often use the doors of the cabinet for like little things. You could you could put your scissors there, your tape and your various medications on a very thin shelf. Fine. So for a doctor, things may be different than for anybody else. And we talked about also the types of hooks that you would use in an olive press. The difference between them, which over there they're used all the time. Because they have their own uses of things that you put on them. Mashenkin, if it's something that's on a wall, obviously it's never going to be Makabel Tuma, because anything that's Mechubel Karka is not considered to be Tumei. And then we've got all kinds of other type of things. A blade that is used for letting blood. So that is definitely considered to be, even though there's no base kibble, that is considered to be a kli. Now imagine exactly the same kli, which you're not using for letting blood, but you poke it into the ground, or you put it onto a piece of a plate, and now it serves perfectly well to be a sundial. Okay, is a sundial the same pin that you use for letting blood? If you use it as a sundial, is that considered to be kli, or does it just sit there? And it doesn't do anything really at all, even though you're using it to mark. That is a machlokas. The Tanakhama holds that's not considered to be a kli. Rabbi Tzadik says it's considered to be an independent kli. That's basically what it's for. And because of that, you're putting it there, makes it a kli. And the same thing would be true. Let's say you've got a pin. We're talking about a lot of different kind of pins. You've got a pin around which you put a spool, into which you put the spool of thread into a shuttle. That pin allows the shuttle to unwind the spool of thread as you throw it. So then, even though it's attached to a pool, and that is the spool is obviously not going to be a Makabel Tuma on its own. That's made out of eights, doesn't have the base kibble. But the very fact that the main functionality of it is because of the pin, that is definitely going to be Makabel Tuma. And we have the same interesting relationship between a wooden kind of garbage pail or container that was used for grinding beans. Remember that case that it has a type of refrigerator holder underneath that's made out of a metal kind of wagon, because it was very heavy. You put rollers underneath the wagon. So if the wagon itself is considered to be a kli that's only attached to the wood, so then maybe it wouldn't have its own name. But Lamaisa, the Mishnah says it's always considered to have its own identity. It's the wagon of the garbage pail. Okay, what about like nails? So generally, nails don't serve as a kli on their own. So suppose you make a nail a door opener. You constantly use it to stick into the door to lift up the other side, the bolt on the other side. Fine, so then you made it a kli. But suppose you work for the Mossad, and the only thing that you do with this nail is you put it on a door in such a way that if anybody attempted to break into the room, it would move the nail away. He thought this was a 007 kind of idea, right? No, this is one of the oldest ones in the books. So there's actually nails that are specially made for this kind of purposes, detecting break-ins. But that is not considered to be a kli. That's just a marker. And because of that, it would be tar. How about a nail that you use as a barrel opener? So you put it in and you squeeze it up. Rabbi Akiva says that it could be tameh because it's used as a kli, but the Chachamim say that kind of thing usually just breaks. If you want it to be actually functional, you're going to have to use hardened metal, and therefore until you harden it, it's not considered to be a real usable pin in this case. And then there's a lot of other cases similar to this. Pins, very large pins, the pins that support the table of the shulchani, because it's actually a big bar, and you put the table by opening up the window. And there, again, since it sits in its plate, this is a mishnah that talks about the three things that Rebbe Tzadok was metame and the Chachamim were metayer. So one was the bar that we're talking about of a shulchani, and the other was the underlying part of that wooden cabinet for bean grinders, and the other one was the pin that you had stuck in to be a sun clock. So when we get into that mode, the Mishnah goes through lists of things. First, it lists the three things of Rabbi Tzadok and the Chachamim. It lists four things between Rabbi Gamliel and the Chachamim, which we already listed some of them before. We talked about the cover of the teni. And the second one is about a scraper that you use in a bath. We're over there. The question is whether the holder is considered to be part of the kli or not. So Rav Gamliel says, look, and this is the way Rav Gamliel views all of these things. They're all interrelated. That's something that even though it serves a different function, but it's often used for this function. So let's take the case where you've got a hook for a scraper, for a back scraper, right? You could put your fingers through that and hold it better. That's not what it's made for. It's made for hanging up. But this is Rav Gamliel Shita. That if it makes Rav Gamliel Shita, if it's something that you can use and it is used often that way, that makes it into a kli. The Chachamim say that's not the main purpose. It's certainly not looked at as an important part of a scraper. And then there's Bichlal, a question about gomim. So again, Rav Gamliel says, look, you didn't finish, okay? But it's perfectly usable as it is. It's not like a very expensive metal that we're talking about. So therefore, Rav Gamliel says, Gomim of Kli Matechet are Tamei, but the Chachamim say, no, it's got to be completely finished. And that's because, it's actually, we had this in the Chulin. That's because we had a Machlokas, remember? Whether it's because of the fact that since they're often used for important occasions, people won't use them if they're not fully done. And the other one is because they're expensive. So they're expensive, they already attempt. Remember, there was Nogea, whether that's true about bone or not, for the same, that was what it was, Nogea L'may Nafkamina in the Gemara. Okay. And then we also had a case where we've got a question of something being broken into different parts. According to Rabbi Gamliel, even if you have something that's split into two parts, it would still be tummy, because you use both of them, because again, he's very makel on what is considered to be usage. According to the Chachamim, only if one part is clearly bigger will people actually still view it as a kli. And then we've got another issue, and that is coins. So we spoke about pins, we spoke about hooks, we spoke about secondary metallic kalim. How about metallic coins? Well, let's say that a dinner became nifsal. Now, there's going to be a problem in general, which is you're not allowed to keep a coin that was nifsal because it may end up being used where the person won't notice that it wasn't a kosher coin. That we'll talk about in a moment. But if you turned it into a necklace, right? So now it becomes a decorative coin. So then it can still become tummy. And how about if you took a sella and you made the sella into a weight? So then also it can become tummy. But the Mishnah itself discusses when is that mutter. It's only mutter where it would be precisely half of its value, because then it's noticeable and it can be used as instead of the shekel, instead of the dinar, it would be worth a shekel. So that would be a chatzi sella. But if it's less than that, and somebody might mistake it, it's less than a shekel, then you have to cut it. If you don't cut it, you're over on keeping midas and mishkal that are asurim. And then there are the metal kind of kalim that may not have a name on their own, but which maybe are considered to be tameh without a base kibble anyway, because the question is how much on its own it is. So let's say you've got a piece of a metal scissors, or you've got a metal pen, or you have a plumb line, which you're going to have to attach to a cord in order to be able to use it. You just have the Mitchell Tellet, which is the heavy part. You've got weights that can be used on a scale. You've got a tablet that you can write on. All of these things are tame because these are usable, Caleb, without a base keyboard. And when it comes to cleats, however, for sure, gourmet cleats were not machbid on as long as they're usable, unless it's very expensive. So we spoke about Eshkaroa, which we speak about in the Beis HaMikdash. That's very expensive. You wouldn't use it unless you finish it. And Reb Yehuda also points out if you make things out of olive wood, it's a problem to use because it leaks. And so unless you boil it to get rid of all of the sap, then it's not going to be mekabel tuma. Okay, so those are the next mishnah about the inyanim of kli cheres, of kli mateches, to be moved on, where we're going to be talking about situations where I can't use it for its initial purpose. So I'm going to use it for something else. That's our next parak. Okay, I don't know whether this is worthwhile. It takes a long time. Maybe we should just go over the names of the prokim. All right, to be...
We love it.
Speak for yourself, Barnea.
I am.
All right, okay. I'm really trying to do as fast as I can. I don't like why it keeps taking so long. As it's very detailed. It's hard to turn these kinds of details into a klal. The whole point of the parak is to deal with these details. So